see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. Like much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful.
Well, I think to myself, what a wonderful world as well. Welcome to another edition of Everybody Has a Story. And I am sitting with somebody who has more stories than there's time on the air for, but we're going to get to some of them today. We want to say welcome to Father Martin Siebenhaller. Welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
Father, we are so happy that you're here today. Now, Father Siebenhaller is a retired archdiocesan priest, but that's a whole nother show, Father, we could talk about. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about life growing up on the farm. I've heard you chat before about growing up on a farm, and that mm-hmm. really, it's a special time, and it's a special place.
Tell us. That's a special vocation in itself, farming. Okay. If I wouldn't have been called to be a priest, I'm quite sure I would have taken over the family farm.
And, Father, what was your family farm?
It was the family farm of Matt and Christine Siebenhaller, 2 miles north of New Trier. It was 120 acres that we bought from Grandpa Siebenhaller in 1945 for about, about $7,000
wow.
in those years.
Wow.
But my dad had worked so hard for his dad, so he had some payback time, money anyway.
So your dad was a farmer, a second-generation farmer?
He was. That'd be Grandpa Siebenhaller was a very successful farmer, but he was the first generation, my grandpa, Nick.
And where did they come from,
well,
Father?
Well, that's interesting. My ancestry, I have a few notes. My great-grandpa was Matt, too. There was a favorite name over there in Luxembourg. He came from Luxembourg. Separate country. It's not Germany, not part of Germany, just to clear the record on that. Stuck between Belgium, Germany, and France. And my great-grandpa Siebenhaller came from Luxembourg about 1860, something like that. I don't know the exact year. And he settled 3 miles north of New Trier on his own farm. Very successful farmer. Became a state legislator for 2 years back 1876 to 78, something like
that.
We
were a new state back then.
He was state representative for a couple of years. So anyway, his son, Nicholas, became my grandpa, and my father was born 2 miles north of Trier, and his name was Matt, too, named after his grandpa, Matt.
And how many children were in that family?
There were 8 in my dad's family. And my dad was the oldest, so he would be named after his grandfather, as I am named after my grandfather on my mother's side, Martin Gores.
Gores.
My mother was Christine Gores of German descent, and they came from Trier, Germany area, her grandparents. So they're close to Luxembourg.
Right, and there they settled in Nutrier. Were they instrumental in naming the city, the town?
That is why they named it Nutrier, because many of them came from Trier, Germany.
Really?
Although the Luxembourgers would have liked to it called New Luxembourg,
New
too,
Luxembourg. Well, maybe we can start something.
Well, that's another story, you know. And so that's a little bit about my background. I'm very proud of my Luxembourg background. I am a member of the Luxembourg American Cultural Society out of Belgium, Wisconsin, and every 2 years I join their gala. I don't go every year, but every 2 years or so I join them and celebrate our ancestry.
Because Luxembourg is a little country, so you would think that there wouldn't be very many people coming from
They're
Luxembourg.
They're very proud of their ancestry, and in this country especially, and around Belgium, Wisconsin, which historically was that, they named it Belgium because that had formerly been Luxembourg, but I think in 1839, a treaty gave them that part of Luxembourg over to Belgium. So they're really Belgium Luxembourgers.
I love it. Mm-hmm. So you are a Luxembourg.
Yes, and I visited Siebenau, Luxembourg, with my two priest brothers in 1974. And we visited the town of Siebenau.
Really?
About 80 people or whatever in a beautiful little church, 1780 vintage. And we even went into the church, a little Catholic church in Siebenauer, Luxembourg.
So Siebenauer, Sieben is seven, of course. And what does Aller mean?
Well, it could come from a valley, T-H-A-L-E-R. It'd be seven valleys, the family that lived in near the seven valleys. It could also be a medieval Siebenwallen, which means ripples in the brook.
Okay.
And I can imagine that there was a little stream going through Siebenauer, and there's a little turn in that, and a home right down in that little curve in the river that could have been. In my imagination, the old Siebenauer.
I love it. So let me be straight. So you are of Luxembourg and German.
Yes.
So where does your Irish brother fit in? Is that another show?
Nope, there's no Irish in him. And I think he made that very clear at St. Patrick's Day. But he's able to sing Danny Boy.
Yes, he is.
And he loves to sing it.
Yes, he is. Well, Father, so you grew up on a farm, and I don't want to give away your age, but what time frame was this that
I was
you...
born September 24th, 1932.
Well, look at you just...
I was the firstborn, and it was on the day they threshed out several stacks of grain.
Really?
Bill Bice and his crew, and they heard that a baby boy had also arrived that day as they threshed out the grain. So they not only had one bottle of beer, but we threshed out a baby boy today. Let's have another bottle. And they did.
And where were you born?
Out at the farm home.
Okay. Was that typical back then?
Pretty typical, I understand. Dr. Kramer from Hastings delivered me, and I wasn't breathing. I was a little blue baby. And so we get an extra good wallop on the butt, and then I gave my first gasp in this world, and
you haven't
and
stopped.
He said, "Doggone it! I almost lost it." A little stronger language than that, but
right. But you're a priest.
He almost lost it, and God had different plans for this little boy.
Oh, how beautiful!
I turned out okay. I turned from blue to normal, and then I became a colicky baby. So they had their problems with their firstborn.
So you were the firstborn all those years ago, and then how many more children did your parents have?
There are nine in the family, six boys and three girls, and I'm, as I say, I'm the oldest. The youngest is Bernie, and he's 17 years younger than I am.
That's like another generation almost.
Yes, my mom always said she had two families, the pre-war and then the post-war
oh
babies.
My gosh, right.
Yes.
So life on the farm, what was it like?
Well, life on the farm was, I'll tell you, the first 8 years, my dad didn't make any money. He would have to borrow, because those were the Depression years, the 30s.
Right.
And then dry and drought years and poor prices. He would have to borrow money from Aunt Gertie and Uncle Tun, about $500 every other year or so. And unfortunately, he lost his horses, his draft horses, in 1938. And then he had to buy a tractor and a plow for the first time. And good Rusty Papel lent him $750 from Vermilion State Bank.
You know, I've got to say, Rusty Papel's name comes up all the time. What a good man he was, wasn't he? Yes, and his son is carrying on that good tradition.
And he knew people, their character, their work ethic, and so he trusted them to make it go.
He was German.
Yeah. So I was the oldest, and I had to do much of the help on the farm and heavy work. I was thinking about, plowing the fields with my John Deere tractor and And I was just, you know, a teenager at the time and kind of worried because sometimes the tractor would, I'd turn it off and eat lunch. I was a mile from home and then it wouldn't start up again. And and that flywheel was so hot. I remember skinning my arm trying to get that, cranking that thing to start up. But Uncle Johnny Bauer saw my plight and he came down. He got it started for me. He
was There's the another great name, Bauer. Yeah, so you're related to the Bauers.
Yeah, he was my uncle. My dad's sister married Johnny Bauer.
Okay.
The neighbor.
Oh, my gosh.
I remember helping Dad stack, though. That was one of my nice, happy memories. You know, he told me how to... See, the grain bundles in those years, we would stack, you know, up to 15, 20 feet, whatever, 15 feet high, kind of a, like a pyramid. And he would do the... Dad would do the stacking, and I threw the bundles. And he taught me how to turn that bundle just right so that it was butt end towards him, and he could pick it up and lay it down on the stack. I was very good at that.
And how old would you have been in your teens?
Oh, 15, 16 years old at the time.
Hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Hard work.
Hard work.
Yes,
yeah.
Very hard
Didn't
work.
Didn't hurt me any, though.
Well, that's nice. Mm, that's... And so your brothers, were they as interested in farming as you were?
Probably not. see, I want to talk about being baptized then in St. Mary's, New Trier. And that's... where I received all the sacraments and my first Mass, too, as a priest. I was baptized 8 days after that, my birth. I was born on a Saturday night, and they baptized as soon as they could. And I was, as I say, baptized and named after my maternal grandfather. And then we went to St. Mary's School, we kids. I stayed home an extra year because, believe it or not, my mom said I couldn't talk much. They can't shut me up now, but that's true. I couldn't. I was kind of shy, and mom had four babies in less than 4 years. She had to put her time to the other babies.
She was busy.
Couldn't talk to me that much.
Yeah.
I guess.
So you started school when you were six, or five?
I was practically 7 years old.
Okay.
Got born in September, and I turned seven in the first grade.
Right.
So I was always a year ahead of everybody else, including
my brother. I think it's just fine.
And I did fine. I was, as they say, one leg up on the other kids.
That's it.
I was a year older.
Right.
And studies came easy. I could hit the ball farther than they could hit it. And,
right, right.
And I got along fine. And then we became altar boys. We, Stephen R. boys, and Father Schirmer's, very strict, old-time German pastor. He says, you boys can serve a good Mass. You should be priests. And that got our attention.
Wow.
If we can serve a good Mass, well, maybe we could be priests. So then I said to myself, let's try Nazareth. I was going to go to Prairie du Chien, maybe be a lawyer, but I thought, let's try the priesthood idea at
so
Nazareth Hall.
So farming didn't really enter your mind?
No, I was just 14 years old. Now I'm going into the prep seminary.
Wow. And where was the prep seminary?
That was Nazareth Hall, north Snelling, but north of St. Paul, where Northwestern Bible College now
okay.
is located. They
okay.
bought them out 40
okay.
years ago, almost.
Wow.
That was 6 years prep seminary for me.
Wonderful.
Then I went to St. Paul Seminary, right across from St. Thomas University, where it still is, St. Paul.
So as a young man, you left your home in New Trier.
Yes, I did, and we, and also my brother tagged along.
Your brother, Father Leonard.
Father Leonard, we were in the same grades,
okay.
all the way through.
Yep.
And he too thought, well, maybe I got a calling too. So he thought he'd give it a whirl, and he persevered right along too. And Father John followed 2 years later too.
Your
so
other
he,
brother.
Yeah, and he thought he might follow his brother's footsteps.
That's so wonderful. Mm-hmm. Father, so you said your mom had four kids very close together.
Yes.
So the three of you were boys. Was there a girl in there
that
as well?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, she had the three boys, and they're praying desperately for a girl, and finally got one in 1936, named after her mother, who died in the flu of 1919, and her great-grandma, Catherine. So she's Mary Catherine, Mary Kay Hoffman today. Mrs. Norbert Hoffman.
So you're related to the Hoffmans as well.
The Norbert Hoffman clan, anyway. There are a lot of different Hoffman families.
Right.
You know, so.
Right.
We had nicknames, and her nickname, Mary Kay had a nickname too. I was boy, Leonard was babe, John was buddy, and Mary, and I can't remember her nickname, but...
This is a nickname your mom gave you?
Yeah, and we were so jealous of her because she got so much attention.
Well, I'm sure she did, and she probably didn't have to work as hard around the farm. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But I bet she worked, I think farm wives work very hard inside.
She worked hard as a second mom in the house.
Of course, right. Right. So tell us about what it was like growing up during that time period. I know you have mentioned how fun it was when people would come and visit.
Oh,
because you didn't get a lot of visitors out on a farm, did you?
No, our social life was kind of limited that way. Sunday afternoon, we could maybe go to a movie or in Hastings, or go to a ball game in New Trier. But the big thing would be company. You know, sometimes we would get company. We, you know, that was the word. And the visitors, that was company. And that was big time stuff. Usually the cousins, uncles, and aunts. And then we kids would play, of course, with the cousins. And that was fun.
I bet that was fun. It was a nice break. So your parents on Sunday, they of course went to church probably. And then that was just a day to rest your body. Because farming is very hard work, isn't it?
That's right. We would usually, even on after the noon meals, we'd all lie down and take a little nap. Because Dad did it, so we would, I guess we would sleep a little bit ourselves.
Right.
We worked hard.
Right. Well, Father, I got to tell you, it's so fascinating to hear about life in the olden days and just how your journey to become a priest, and not only, you're everywhere in Hastings. I love how you really are so interested in so many things. We would like to continue chatting with you about some of your other escapades.
Other avocations?
Yes, other avocations.
Bird watching, friend of the Leduc, old barns, my golfing experiences.
Excellent. Well, you know what? We have a whole other show that we're going to have to do. We're so happy. Father Martin Siebenaller, who has recovered from his lack of being able to speak when he was a child and has made up for it in spades. We're so happy that he stopped by to tell us a little bit about what it was like to grow up in New Trier in the Depression and post-Depression times. So we want to say thank you. You are listening to AM 1460, KDWA.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty.